I'll be reading Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 to 6. Aren't you so blessed by the ministry of music, scripture, and song? It's so wonderful. So thank you for those hymns, Heinz, that you shared. The words in those hymns truly lift us up. And already we pray that our time of worship in song and in looking to God's word through music has encouraged you this beautiful day. Well, the word of the Lord, as we hear it in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 to 6, it goes like this. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Did you know that one of the best exercises for you is walking? Let's think about walking for a moment this morning. We do it every day. You are here today because you put one foot out of bed and put it in front of the next, and you walked, and you got to church. Praise God. Does anybody ever have anything that counts their steps? They keep track of that, perhaps. You know, I have an app on my phone, and I checked it just before the service, and I was up to 700. Not too bad to start, but on average, we walk about 4,000 steps a day. It's amazing. Walking. We see people do it everywhere. Who here goes for walks every day? Some of you, every week at least, once a month, maybe. Perhaps you go for walks. And not only is walking, of course, good for you physically, but it can be an enjoyable social event as well. At this time of the year, I know if you are from Campbellford, we just see people walking that canal over and over every day in groups or just one at a time. And it's just something that happens as the weather gets warmer. So whether you like to walk or not, I heard someone once said, I love long walks, especially when they are taken by people who annoy me. Nobody ever has that person in their life, right? Or the person who said, I love long romantic walks to the fridge. Walking, it's a part of life, whether you like it or not. And it's good for you, and I'm sure you all know how important walking is for your health, physically, socially, mentally, emotionally. Sometimes you have to tell somebody to go for a walk, right? Because they're kind of in a moment. We do it. We know it. We do it to cope with stress. We also do it to enjoy God's creation. But the exercise of physical walking is not what we are going to focus on this morning. Did you know that in the Bible, the word walk is used 212 times? That's a lot. And the Bible often uses the metaphor of walking, and that's how it's used. The metaphor of walking, and it refers to really just how you conduct your life. If somebody asks you, from one believer to the next, how's your walk with the Lord going? They're not asking how many steps you took in your day. They're asking, how are things going in your relationship with God? Are you walking with the Lord? And that really is about your conduct, the way you're living. And the meaning of the word comes down to the way in which you live your life and how you conduct yourself. For instance, in Psalm 128, verse 1, it says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. So when you see how the word walk is used in Psalm 128, verse 1, one of over 200 verses in the Bible that use the word walk, we learn here an important promise. And the promise from God is the Bible promises blessings for all people who walk in my way. Wrong? In God's ways. That's the key. But when you think about how often this word is mentioned in the Bible, it must mean it's important for us to learn and know about. Consider this question. When you come to the end of your life, what do you want to be remembered for? Don't get too gloomy, but we know that that is a truth for every one of us. At some point, we just won't be living here. What do you want people to remember about you? Take a moment. It's a good reflective question every now and then, because it makes us think about how we're living our life and who we're living it for. Do you want to be remembered for your kindness or your love? Do you want to be remembered for your generosity, your knowledge, your wisdom, your abilities and skills, that you knew how to relate to people? Or would you want to be remembered, or will they remember you for your pride, your dishonesty, your stinginess, that you didn't love anybody, that you were just an angry person or always busy? What are people going to say about you when you're gone? Will anybody say, I don't know a lot of things about him or about her, but this I do know. He walked with God. She walked with God. That much I know about him and about her. Now, how could you have anything more uplifting and Christ-like than that to say, that somebody walked with God? Now, again, you may be wondering this morning, what does it mean then to walk with God? As we learned earlier, that there was a man named Enoch. Not little is said about him, but that's what we know. How do you know when you're walking with God? Let me just give you a brief statement about that and how to define that, what it means to walk with God. To walk with God means to keep him at the center of our thinking. In everything that we do, in everything that we say, in everything that we think, in our relationships or in our finances and our plans and every area of our life. That's what it means to walk with God. It's the wisest way to walk, isn't it? In Genesis 5, verses 24, let me read to you another passage. And I want you to turn there in a moment, or just now if you can in your Bibles. But listen, if you will, to Genesis 5, verses 21 to 24. Listen to what it says. This is the only other passage that talks about the Enoch that we learned about in Hebrews. And it says here, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. And again, in verse 24, it's repeated, Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. So in this passage of Genesis, what do we learn about Enoch? What does God reveal to us, teach us about this man? Well, he walked with God. We learned that twice. But then also, God took him. So let me just dwell on that fact for a second. Enoch was one of two men in the Bible that we learned that never experienced death. One day, Enoch goes for a walk with God. By late afternoon, they're still strolling along when God says, Enoch, we're closer to my house than yours. Why don't you just come home with me? And that's kind of how it happened. He didn't experience death. He didn't die. He just was transported to heaven. The other person in the Bible that never experienced physical death in order to get to heaven was Elijah. And if you know about Elijah, a chariot of fire came down and picked him up, and that's how he was transported to heaven. But from this, I am sure we all would love to know what kind of man Enoch was, that God should spare him from going through death. Unfortunately, there just isn't a lot of information about his life, but what we do know is that he was a man who walked with God. And the Hall of Faith passage that I read from Hebrews 11 says it this way again, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as a man as having pleased God. It's good to think about these words when it comes to these people in the Bible that we're meant to know about for a reason and learn from. But did you catch that last part? He was a man who pleased God. The faith that led Enoch to cease walking in the ways of this world, to walk with God instead, and he did for over 300 years, this brought pleasure to God. And by doing this, Enoch fulfilled the primary purpose of life, which is what? Revelation 4, verse 11 tells us that all things are created, all things for God's pleasure. The verse goes like this: "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." And from this verse, we learn the purpose of our existence is to know God, to glorify him and enjoy him forever. And if we are to please God with our lives, we must have faith to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek after him. Are you walking with God? Are you walking with God today? Yes, it's true. We can get off track. We had a time in our life where we weren't walking with God. And praise God, if you're able to say today, "I'm walking with God," thanks be to God for his grace and mercy. If somebody does say to you, "Are you walking with God?" I wonder what you would say. Would you say, "Yes, I am"? And then if I were to say, "Well, what are you doing in order to walk with God?" Could you answer that? What are you doing to walk with God? So I want to give you an answer, and I want to give you a list of things that are absolutely essential to walking with God, to walking after God, and to walking in a way that pleases and honors and brings you the best life that you could possibly have that God created you to know. And the first word is acceptance. Accept. The first thing is this, that is to accept, and we've been singing about it already today, accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. That's the beginning of our walk with God. In other words, if I want to walk with God, I can't even get to God except through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14, 6, and on the banners behind me, it says, "No man can come to the Father except through Jesus." You want to walk with God? Come to Jesus. Face the cross. We've just come through Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. To see these three get baptized because they declared, Hannah, Micah, Isaac, that they put their faith in Jesus Christ. They declared for him, and we witnessed that, and we celebrated with them. They faced the cross, the resurrection, and they accepted Christ as their Savior and Lord. And that's where walking with God begins, in that acceptance. Anybody who tells you that they're living a good life and everything is fine and they've rejected Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're either ignorant or living in sin and totally blind to it. For first of all, you have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the way we get to God. So if I'm going to walk with him, I've got to be with him. And how do I get to be with him? By repenting of your sin, by repenting of my sin, receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, who forgave us our sin and makes it possible for us to have this right, personal, and intimate relationship with Almighty God. That's the first step. The second is listening. How good are you at listening? We must listen to God. You were created to know God in a deep and personal way. I love this about God. He's a personal God. He wants us to know him. And if I don't listen to God, I'm not going to follow him. And if you don't learn to pray and listen to God, you're not going to follow him and you're not going to walk with him. The basis for any relationship is communication. God wants you to hear his voice and follow him. And you may be thinking, does God really speak today? Is God speaking to me now? Yes, he is. If you're nodding your head, that's the right answer. He is speaking to us right now. Praise the Lord. He has always spoken to his people. God spoke to Noah about how to build an ark. God spoke to Joshua and told him to march around Jericho. God spoke to David and gave him plans for the temple. God spoke to Daniel with prophecies of the future. God spoke to Elijah and brought fire down from heaven. God spoke to Moses face to face as one friend to another. And we could go on of who God spoke to from Genesis to Revelation. God is speaking to you today. Psalm 50 verse 3 says, "Our God comes and will not be silent." The question is not, does God still speak? The question is, are you listening? Now, when it comes to listening, how do you know when someone is listening to you? What's one way that you know someone is listening to you? They're looking at you. Eye contact. If your eyes are not on the person that you're listening, it's like, okay, they've tuned you out. You don't have any idea what they're saying. The conversation is over. If you're a teacher in here and you've been in that classroom, boy, we got to pray for our teachers. You know, to make sure every one of those 30 kids are looking at you constantly. And if they're not, what do you do, Paula, if they're not listening? Call their name, walk over to their desk, tap their desk, clap. But can we apply this spiritually to our lives as well? If you are not looking to Jesus, if your eyes are not fixed on Jesus, you are not listening to God. Your ears are not open to the words that God has for you. There's a lot to say about paying attention to what God is saying to us, and keeping our eyes on Him will help you to hear His voice. And that is why prayer is absolutely essential in the Christian life. Our prayer and meditation, the time that we spend with Him, is absolutely essential. Because when you're reading the Word of God, when you're talking to God and listening to Him, He's going to be showing you things. He's going to be revealing His Word to you. You're going to find out what His way is, and then you'll be able to walk in His steps. If you've never gone for a prayer walk, I'd encourage you to start that today. Many of you do, I know that. But that is one way that we can put those two together, and it's a good thing for your faith. God gave us His Word because we need to know how to follow Him, to walk in His ways and to be obedient to Him. So if I'm going to walk with God, I've got to, number two, listen to Him. Number three, you've got to trust Him. You've got to trust Him. If you don't trust Him, you're not going to follow God. To walk with God, I've got to listen to Him and I've got to trust Him. And if I don't trust Him, and if you don't trust Him, and if I don't trust Him, we're not going to follow Him. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So if you're going to follow God, if you're going to walk after Him, you're going to have to be a person to trust Him. If you're going to be the person God wants you to be, then you've got to decide at some point, I'm going to trust you, God, today. Why do I put such emphasis on trust? Because sometimes, in fact, many times, God will require something of us that doesn't make sense, doesn't fit. Be it that God's timing isn't right, or could it be that He really wants me to do this? I can't wrap my head around it. But God says, that's what I want you to do. And if He is telling you to do that, then you have to trust Him. Nor does He promise that we will always understand His ways. Every day, challenges can test our trust in God. Fear and anxiety can rob us of faith. The future may seem uncertain right now for many of us. And worry keeps occupying too much in your heart and room. But remember this, God is already in all of our tomorrows. Hallelujah. You remember that old gospel hymn, we'll understand it better by and by, when the saints of God are gathered home. Well, there are a lot of things we don't fully understand here on earth, but listen, if I'm going to walk with Him, I'm going to do what He says, whether I understand it or not. That's why Psalm 28 verse 7 is so important, for it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In Him my heart trusts completely, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song, I give thanks to Him. And so, you have to decide, and I have to decide whether we're going to trust in God or not. So we have to accept, we have to listen, we have to trust. Fourthly, we have to obey. Another important aspect of walking with God is obeying Him. And obedience means to simply walk by faith and say yes to the Lord. Now, obedience is tough, isn't it? We struggle with it as humans from early in our lives. What are some of the first words a toddler learns to say? Daddy. Oh, just kidding. Sorry, moms. No. That would be a good survey, right? But no, it is no. That is the first word a kid will say is no. Why? Why is that like the first word a kid will say? Because by nature, we're all rebellious. We don't come into this world praising and worshiping God. We come in cursing and screaming and don't tell me what to do. We resist being controlled. Is the person next to you, do they like to be told what to do? Jason? They're looking, shaking their heads. We don't like being told what to do or how to do it. Maybe you do. Let's be friends. It's not easy. But you know who modeled perfect obedience? We've been singing about him all day. Jesus. He modeled perfect obedience for all of us in both his relationship with his earthly parents and with his heavenly Father. Jesus shows us true obedience, and it's transformative. It changes us, and it changes the world around us. In John 14, verse 15, Jesus Christ made it quite clear how his followers were to show their love for him. How can we show our love to him? By obeying him. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." That's it. No qualifiers, no ifs, no excuses. If someone truly loves Jesus Christ, then he or she will keep his commandments. Now, disobedience implies that I know better than he does. And if I don't obey God, and I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if I don't obey him, have you ever realized this? What are you really saying? What are you really saying to God when you disobey him? I know better. I know better than you. And this is to an omniscient, almighty, powerful God. So we need to always remember to go God's way. If we are to walk with Almighty God, obedience is necessary. Well, you might say, well, how much obedience? How about partial obedience? Well, what is partial obedience? It's still disobedience. So if I'm going to obey him, I'm going to do what he says to do, when he says to do it, and the way he says to do it, period. So are you walking with God this morning? In other words, is obedience a lifestyle for you? We thank the Lord that our God is our leader and our guide and our God to guide us every single day. We're to walk with him, and walking with him means we surrender our will to him and we're willing to obey him because we trust him. And because I trust him, I will obey him. There's a quote by Peter Forsyth, and he said, "The first duty of every soul is to find not its freedom, but its master." Which are you after today? Consider your master. Consider Jesus. Is he the Lord of your life? Ask yourself the question, and I hope you'll ask it all the way through this message. Am I walking with God, or am I not? If I'm walking with him, I'm going to walk in the same direction he walks. If I'm really and truly walking in God's will and his way, I'm obeying him and I'm walking in the same direction, and that leads to a life of blessing. Not a perfect life, not a comfort life, but a blessed life. Being in the center of God's will is the best life. The last word here is fruitfulness. Fruitful. The result of walking with God is fruitfulness. And what do I mean by that? Well, our life will be different. It is no longer the same when you have Jesus at the center of your life. In 1 John 2, verse 6, we read, "Whoever says he abides in Jesus ought to walk in the same way in which he lived." So when we abide in Christ, when we are connected to the living water of Christ, we become like him by the way we live. And the Bible often uses actually the metaphor of fruit to describe kind of how we are living. The fruit of our lives is the direct result often of what is controlling your heart and mind. So the fruit of a life, for instance, not surrendered to Jesus, not walking with God, in Galatians 5, here's an example of that life. The fruit of that life is bitterness, hatred, dishonesty, sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, witchcraft, jealousy, fits of rage, and many more evil acts. However, in contrast, the fruit of the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Meaning, when you are walking with God, it will show in your words and in your actions and your attitudes, your lifestyle. When you are walking with God, it will show in how you spend your time, how you treat your neighbor, and how you lead in your home. So ask yourself this question, am I walking with God? Because it will be shown in the fruit of your life. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, which is the first step, you're not walking with him. Ask God this morning to show you what he sees. Then confess and repent of your sin, asking God to forgive you, which he promised us to do. In 1 John, we learn if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then get your life straightened out. Make those changes so that your life is in line with God's word. And then start your walk with God. The issue is, are you willing to walk with God? And that's my prayer for each of us today. So what is essential to walking with God that we've learned through Scripture? Accept, listen, trust, obey, and be fruitful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We are so grateful for that simple verse that said, Enoch walked with God. Lord, may it be said of each of us, while we're living and after our life is over, that we walk with God. Heavenly Father, we pray that even now you'll do whatever is necessary. Change whatever is necessary, God, in our lives to get us back in step with you. Not ahead of you, not behind you, Lord, just in step with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.